Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
One's about to close and one's about to reopen. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of February 22nd and 23rd. Tog season is going to close on the 28th of February for the month of March and reopen April 1st, April Fool's Day. Striped bass is going to reopen March 1st, 7 days and counting. Back bays, tidal creeks, and rivers. A lot of stuff going on every day. One day closer to springtime, one day to make it happen. Hey, listen, on the saltwater fishing front, input is wanted by Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. They're accepting public comment. Check this out, on an amendment to consider recreational sector separation and data collection for fluke, porgies, black sea bass, and blues. Whoa. This document will consider options for managing for-hire recreational fisheries separately from other recreational fishing modes, as well as options related to the collection and use of recreational data. The public hearing, it's going to be webinar only this Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Go to Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission website, Google it, whatever, and you can register on there. They're going to be accepting written comments through March 20th. Again, all that information is on the website. The Governor's Surf Fishing Tournament is going to be May 18th, and they're accepting registrations there. If you register before April 19th, you're going to save on adult registration and be eligible for additional prizes and head directly to the beach on the day of the tournament. Again, njfishandwildlife.com. Information on that. And woo! Man, one day closer to gobbler season. I saw this turkey the other day. I must have escaped from a game. This thing was the size of a California condor. It had to be a turkey farm somewhere. This thing escaped. It was huge. Anyway, on Saturday, March 15th, in Wharton State Forest at the Batstow Village Visitor Center in Burlington County, there is going to be a turkey hunting seminar. Great crew. Joe Lesky and Lou Gambale are going to be giving it. Again, registration is on a first-come, first-served. I think it's limited to 100 people. That's the room that they're going to pack that. The registration deadline is February 27th at 5 p.m. That's next Thursday. Again, go to njfishandwildlife.com to check it out. We have a really jammed show coming up. And it's not too late. March 2nd is the NJOA Great Dinner up there at Sussex County at the Black Forest Inn. Go to NewJerseyOutdoorAlliance.org. Tickets are still available. Really jam coming up, man. It's a lot going on. They had the freshwater fisheries, warm water and cool water forum this past Thursday. Joining us on the line in a few minutes is Christopher Smith, now supervising biologist, DEP Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries. Talk about specifically Manasquan Reservoir, Lake Assanpink, and Union Lake. The gem of, I'd say it's one of the best lakes in New Jersey. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Whoa, one closes, one opens. Life is grand.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
You don't need a President's or Valentine's sale. Get to Matt Platt Kia and save every day. With over 1,100 new Kias in stock or en route. All with zero down, zero payments until May. Even low 1.9% financing for 60 months on 25 Kia Sorento and Sportage SUV. So bring any trade, even if you're buried in a loan or lease. Matt Platt Kia wants to get you released and into your new Matt Platt Kia. Like the all-new 25 K4. Just $129 per month lease with zero security deposit and only $36.95 due. Matt Platt Kia, your PA and New Jersey Kia superstores in Abington, Egg Harbor Township, and Toms River, or right to your front door.
It's gotta be a Matt Platt Kia.
With approved credit, $13.89 per thousand finance. Not all will qualify. Credit may affect down payment. Offers can't be combined. Go to MattPlattKiaNJ.com for complete details or 888-505-6670. Price includes all costs to be paid by consumer except for licensing, registration, and taxes through KMF. Rebates and incentives to deal. Expires 3/4/25. Matt Platt Kia, 6211 Black Horse Pike, Egg Harbor Township. And on Route 37 in Toms River.
Hey, I'm your mountain bike. Been a minute since we hit the trail. Why not roll me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that keeps us all moving. Donate today. On your left. To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, man, one day closer, April 5th opening of trout season. But a lot of stuff's going on, man. We're talking already. Okay, full disclosure, we're going to be away for a couple days back up north to the ice fishing. Had a little bit of ice fishing down here, but this reminds you back in the, I guess the last time was the mid-90s when we had winter ice like this. There's still 10, 11 inches up there. Going to be doing some stuff here. Hey, Thursday night, the Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, DEP Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, had their warm water, cool water forum remotely. About 180 people signed on remotely. Joining us online right now, very special, and congratulations on his promotion, is Christopher Smith. He is now a supervising biologist, New Jersey DEP Fish and Wildlife Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries, former two-time New Jersey Bass Angler of the Year, great fisherman, great dad, overround cool guy. Going to talk about three things in particular, some assessments they did on in the Rack and Fin area, Lake Assanpink, Union Lake, and Manasquan Reservoir. What is happening with those fisheries, most notably the bass? Chris Smith, congratulations. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Tom, and thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. And you, listen, I remember, Chris, way back when he started in the early 90s, you had toiling away in that Sicklerville, the Southern Region office. They're out there, him and Carver, up to their rib cage in muck and mire, electroshocking. Chris, man, you paid your dues, little brother.
Well, I thank you. Definitely appreciate it. Been around for quite some time now with the agency, and loved every minute of it, and hope to continue to do some great work here in the future.
And, Chris, you know, my mantra, Jersey freshwater fishing, I'll put it up to, for our size and amount of waters, I'll put it up to anyone in the northeast mid-Atlantic region. But, Chris, let's get to Assanpink Union Manasquan. One by one, I mean, you did research, electroshocking, gill netting, what have you. What's the status of the bass fisheries on these three waters?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can start one by one. We can go in alphabetical order. Start with Assanpink.
Assanpink, I mean, down!
We're stationed right at the Assanpink Wildlife Management Area at our Central Region office, and we have three great water bodies, within a stone's throw just of the office, being the main lake at Assanpink, Stone Tavern Lake, and Rising Sun. You know, all three are unique in their own, in their own rights. They each have their own characteristics, and the fisheries are a little bit different too. And, that diversity in the fishery is what's really neat about that area, that you can kind of, hopscotch your way from one pond to the other, and you fish a little bit different in each one of them. But the main lake itself, Assanpink, that's our crown jewel, of the wildlife management area. It's a Lunker Bass Lake.
Yeah, I was just going to say, special management. Yeah, man.
Oh. Yep, special management recommendations with increased size limit of 15 inches, reduced creel limit of 3 fish, opposed to our normal 12 inches and 5 fish. And, mm-hmm. The idea of that is to help to enhance and to protect our existing, population that we have, and to keep it, making it better along the way. In this past year, pretty much since I've relocated to that office about 10, 12 years ago, and took over the region from former biologist Pat Hamilton, we've been sampling it pretty much every year, at least once a year, sometimes mm-hmm. twice a year, doing our electrofishing surveys. And the thing about Assanpink, the main lake, is that habitat has changed, in the last 10, 15, 20 years.
How so?
Where we had the introduction of an invasive plant species called hydrilla. We talk a lot about vegetation. I've been on the show a number of times talking about the benefits of aquatic vegetation. However, we get to a certain point where we tip that balance where we get too much vegetation in the lake. And that's what we really saw at Assanpink, being that it's an invasive species that we don't want spread throughout the state. It grows through fragmentation. It can have overwintering, seeds. So it really has a lot of potential for spread in the state. We don't want it, it really can impact our infrastructure in the state. So we decided to go with a contractor, do a herbicide application, within the lake. And at one point, about 3 or 4 years ago, we were probably close to about 75-85% coverage of the whole lake was covered with hydrilla. Now, through successful treatment, mm-hmm. we're down to about 0% of the lake has hydrilla in it. So we continue to monitor that bass population to really see what effects that we're going to see on that changing dynamic of the habitat. And we're already seeing positive effects. We had a catch rate that increased this year. Over the last 3 years, our catch rate of electrofishing has increased. The overall size structure of the fish has increased, you know, as well.
Beautiful.
So good things, you know, good things on the horizon. We did some supplemental stocking of bass this past year to really give it a little, you know, another little jump start and, you know, a little shot. Gets a lot of fishing pressure, so trying to keep all of our anglers happy by giving them a little extra fish.
Chris, I was just saying, as much as that's pounded with tournament anglers, the quality of fishing remains.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think that our regulations and, you know, I mean, a lot of it has to do just by the nature of the lake itself and habitat, and you know, pH and productivity of the water body. Some water bodies are just going to be better than others, right? Regardless of some of our, you know, management, you know, activities, some lakes are just better. And we see that too, even within our three lakes at Assunpink. You know, it's kind of Assunpink, the main lake, is kind of known for a little bit lower density population, a little bit bigger fish. Stone Tavern is the place you want to go if you want to catch a lot of fish that are really good quality size with the occasional big 6 or 7 pounder. But there's not a lot of like fish in that 4 to 5 pound range opposed to Assunpink, which there is. Rising Sun, on the other hand, which kind of fishes more like a deep, clear, like sand pond almost, but it has hydrilla in it too. That one has a lot of little fish in it. So it's just by the nature of the water bodies, how they are. You know, you get different characteristics and different fish populations.
Chris, sorry for interrupting, but now with the hydrilla in the other lake, was that, Rising Sun? Was that Snow?
Yeah, all three.
Are you going to be getting rid of that there?
No. Right now there isn't any plans for treating the other two water bodies. And the main thing with Assunpink is because of it being a larger water body and being more of a multi-use facility, you know, even though it's electric only, we get a lot of, you know, just recreational paddlers.
Yakkers,
you know, kayaking and stuff.
Love
it gets a lot more use. Bigger parking lot, bigger boat ramp, bigger, you know, bigger water body. Yep. It just gets a lot more use. So with that, it really had impacted the usability of the water body.
Yeah, joining us online is Christopher Smith, supervising biologist, DEP Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Freshwater Fisheries. Thursday night was the Warm Water, Cool Water Fisheries Forum. They used to have it at Batstow. And there, man, it was pretty much standing room only. But I miss it at Batstow because there were a lot of donuts. Fish and Wildlife treated us to a lot of and that coffee was like wired and fired and otherwise inspired. But, Chris, let's get now to Manasquan Reservoir really took a beating this summer from the drought. How is it looking, and what studies have you done earlier in the year or last year? What's the update?
Yeah, so Manasquan is unique, too, in that, you know, I mean, each one, you know, Assunpink's nice because it's our water body. It's a wildlife management area. We kind of have kind of control over, you know, how we choose to manage it. Manasquan, on the other hand, has it's a water supply reservoir. It's maintained and known by the New Jersey Water Supply Authority. So, you know, their goal is through infrastructure and availability of water. So they have some other considerations that we have to kind of work around. The access and the park around there is through Monmouth County Park System. They have a really nice facility, you know, that they maintain the boat ramp, the parking lot, and all that, as far as access. But the water itself is Water Supply Authority. And then we kind of, you know, work around, you know, with managing the fish population. So, you're right. The water level through the drought and through, you know, use of water was extremely low this past year. We did a survey in the fall in October. At the time, the reservoir was probably down maybe, and I'd guess about maybe 8 feet or, you know, ish, somewhere around there. It was down far enough that all the water had receded past out from the standing timber. So we had an increased catch rate because it had the fish more concentrated by nature of bass like to go shallow in the fall. You know, we talked a lot about fishing patterns and stuff over the years. And that's one thing the bass like to do in October is they go to the bank and they go shallow. So, And that's what we saw there. Any bit of little bit of vegetation, hydrilla is also very temperature sensitive, starts dying off pretty early in the fall. Unlike, you know, like a milfoil, it's going to hang around a little bit longer. So the little bit of vegetation that was still around had a lot of fish around it. Fish are up cruising around on open sand banks and around stumps and, you know, that sort of thing. Had a good catch rate, you know, some really nice quality fish up to about 6 pounds.
Nice.
Good number of fish, you know, but recall about maybe about 80-85% of the fish were over 12 inches and about maybe 50% of the 30-40% of the fish were over 15 inches. And those are really good numbers.
Yeah.
You know, as far as our indices that we look at for population structure, you know, I mean, we know that eventually it's going to rain again. The water level is going to come back up. Eventually it's going to rain. We're in a pretty long drought here. You know, water level is going to come back up. We did a survey last 2023 in the spring, a nighttime electrofishing survey, and our results in the fall this past year were actually better than the previous spring. And that's, you know, it's all dictated on water temperature, and there's fluctuations, and that's why we go, you know, we don't rely on just one survey at one time. You know, we go look for long-term trends. So we'll be out there again this year, maybe doing a spring and a fall, you know, or one or the other, you know, to continue to look at that population. And as we do these surveys, a lot of people ask, what we do with the information. Well, I mean, that drives us towards, you know, doing some additional stocking, you know, changing around, you know, maybe some of our other stocking programs, as we see impact, potential impact or potential additions to stocking programs.
Of course, now to these, I can't just say South Jersey Jewel. It is one of the finest lakes in the great Garden State. What's it, almost 900 acres, 1,000 acres? Union Lake near Millville. Yeah. What a fishery. How's that doing?
You know, and you're absolutely right. The Jewel of South Jersey and in our recent fisheries forum that we just held on Thursday night, I left Union Lake for my last water body of my presentation that I had on updates and you know, that's the way I like to finish strong with, you know, with kind of our, you know, the one that kind of definitely, you know, I have a special spot in my heart for Union Lake. So, you know, and not to take away anything from any of the other ones, because they're all, you know, unique in their own sense, but Union definitely, you know, down in Millville, you know, Cumberland County, it's the first impediment on the Morris River, has a fish ladder, you know, migratory herring, you know, come up through the fish ladder in the spring. The one, you know, kind of, we'll say, concerning part about Union Lake that we have to look forward to in the future is that, you know, we now have the northern snakehead that's in the Morris River drainage.
Yes.
It was first documented just downstream in Monanico sand ponds this past summer. We found an adult, and an angler caught another one. So we know we have a spawning pair. And we can, you know, we expect that we'll continue to see, you know, more fish working their way down the Delaware, you know, through Delaware Bay, and then up the Morris River. So we'll have a well-established snakehead population in the Morris River over the next few years. So we're going to continue to monitor Union very closely over the next couple of years to see how, you know, our invasive species, you know, impact that population and some of our, you know, threatened species that we have up in the headwaters of, you know, as we get towards more of a pinelands fish community up in the headwaters of the Morris River. We're going to be very concerned with how invasive species can impact those fish too. So, but as far as the bass go, we did two surveys last in 2024 in April, about middle of the month. They were still pre-spawn. Fish were just moving up into the shallows. You know, we tried timing is everything with these surveys. We had a decent catch rate for Union, a little tiny bit you know, above average. It looked good as far as catch rate.
Any word on the smallies?
Yeah, we had a couple smallmouth. They look good.
Love my smallies.
And yeah, things look good as far as the population structure, size of the fish. You know, habitat looked decent as far as the amount of emergent vegetation that we see. You know, the reed grass and you know, we've had a lot of angler reports of a lot more submerged vegetation in the lake in the last couple of years, which is excellent for you know, for supporting our fish population, our yellow perch, our bluegill. So they should continue to have a good food source over the next couple of years, and you know, things look great for Union Lake.
Okay, Chris, one final question. We're up against a hard break here. Union, back in the late 70s, early 80s, when I was fishing more and more towards this, you know, southern tier counties, stripers, always have about stripers in Union Lake. Is there any left? And has the idea ever come across anyone's desk about stocking hybrid stripers down there?
Yeah, great questions. So yes, we do run into on the occasion through our sampling and through angler reports, and myself being a frequent, you know, angler at Union Lake, I've caught them myself. You know, pure strain striped bass, either through angler introduction or juveniles that have come up through the fish ladder. The state record striped bass back, you know, at one point in the 80s was from Union Lake
yeah.
for the freshwater record. I've caught them myself through sampling and fishing up to about 40, 41 inches in the lake. I've seen others that have caught them that big too. It's an occasional thing, and the fish are usually caught in the colder months of the year. That I can say. It's usually in the winter or early spring, late fall when the fish are caught. As far as hybrids go, I believe it was in the 80s before the dam was reconstructed and a fish ladder was put in. I believe hybrids were attempted to be stocked in the water body with limited success. Now with the concern of escapement, even though hybrids have a very low potential, limited potential for spawning, you know, with the striped bass population, there is always a possibility.
Hey, Smith, they are escape artists, man.
Yeah. So in order to avoid any of those type of, you know, security, you know, just to maintain security and maintaining our striped bass population, we do not stock in any place where they can escape and get out into the we'll say the wild or into the Delaware River.
Fair enough. Christopher Smith, supervising biologist, DEP Freshwater Fisheries. And it's going to be a great season coming up. Bass population, especially Assinpink, Union, and Manasquan, look at a lot of waters in South Jersey. It's going to be a rocking 2025. Can't get here soon enough. Chris, thanks much. How's the family? Everything good?
Everybody's good.
All right, my brother. We'll see you on the water one of these days.
Absolutely. Hey, can't wait.
Take care, brother.
You too.
He's a great guy. Congratulations on that promotion. If anyone earned it, it is Smith. Way long in that segment. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Bullet Points.
I'm Evan Brown. The idea of tax-free guns and ammo is apparently catching on. Florida is considering a special holiday from sales taxes on firearms and ammunition. Governor Ron DeSantis is already dubbing it the Second Amendment summer. And the sales tax holiday, as theorized, would run from Memorial Day through Independence Day. Many Second Amendment advocates would find this appropriate. And now Georgia state lawmakers are considering something similar. A bill is filed in the Georgia State Senate that would create an 11-day long sales tax holiday each October that would exempt purchases on guns and ammo, but also accessories like scopes and magazines, barrels, and the like. Those who support such tax holidays agree they encourage more law-abiding people to exercise their constitutional rights while giving the firearms retail industry, which often includes small business dealers, a bit of a surge in business. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Yeah, we're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Final weekend of February, February 22nd and 23rd. Hey, coming up this week, kicking off Wednesday, is the boat show in Atlantic City at the Convention Center. It's going to be running through Sunday, March 2nd. Listen, five straight days. I'll tell you, the boating, I just did a boat show up there in Middlesex County. Not really, really enthusiastic. Hopefully this show will have a lot more juice to it. But anyway, there's going to be five full days of great seminars going on. A cherry pick here and there. It's going to be a great time. Get there. I think if you go online, acboatshows.com, you'll save $2 on an online ticket. It's 18 bucks to get in. Ooh, yeah, 18. But listen, two seminars, well, one seminar in particular, but two seminars scheduled. One's going to be 6 p.m. Wednesday, opening day. The other's going to be 12:30 p.m. Saturday, concerning, without a doubt, Jersey's most popular inshore saltwater game fish, and that is a summer flounder, a.k.a. fluke. And presenting this seminar's targeting doormat fluke will be Jenny Ackerman, technically media coordinator for the Fisherman magazine, but she's basically a jack of all trades for the book. And she's a very, I'll tell you, you had to see the people at the MTA show up there in Edison coming up to this young lady. She's a host of the Open Boat video series on YouTube. Very popular, very dynamic, excellent writer as well. We're going to discuss her her seminars, because fluke, again, it's doormat, area rug, fluke time. Season's supposed to open, May 4th or 5th? So it's going to be here before you know it. And getting that fish of a lifetime, this is the person that can key you in on some tips and some tricks. Ackerman, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Tom. How are you?
Great seeing you up at that MTA show. But what, Jen, what did you think? I mean, saw some boats being sold, but a lot of people around. But I don't know, Jen, the juice didn't seem to be really squeezing out there. What's your take?
The juice was not loose. I'm hoping it's the opposite for the AC show. That's always a fun one to be at, especially if you're there on Friday. We're going to celebrate my 25th birthday. So hopefully there's a lot more boats sold and a lot of people boots on the ground.
Hey, you bringing a birthday cake? Mom making you a birthday cake? What's the dealio here, Ackerman? Come on. Mama Ackerman, are you listening, Mama Ackerman? Come on.
You better be bringing me one.
I was thinking of a giant sheet cake. What do you think?
That works perfectly.
With a koi in the middle. What do you think? Jenny's a big koi addict. She has a koi in here. I think it might be an IGFA record.
I have 11 of them in my backyard, and no one's allowed to fish that pond. So
yeah, Jen, now, listen, on a more serious note now, the boat industry dodged Trump's tariffs there, Canada and Mexico. And most of the boats made in the U.S., if there's that many made in the U.S. anymore, go to Canada anyway. But I just want to quote the great Frank Sargent, writer for The Fishing Wire. He had a thing there about this tariff deal. Many of the boat builders in recent years, I'm quoting Frank, have moved their fiberglass production to Mexico. The reason most say is that they can't get enough good quality U.S. workers willing to deal with the hot, dry, vaporous jobs of producing boat hulls at a reasonable cost. Reportedly, workers in Mexico operating in new plants constructed and running to U.S. standards are happy to have the jobs from producing very good hulls, which are then transported to U.S. for finished work. Listen to me. This is something else here. Yellowfin Yachts and Invincible Boats just christened a composites and lamination facility in Merida, Mexico, specifically citing the poor quality of hourly workers available for boat building in the U.S. as a reason. And we know several well-known fishing lure companies have their lures made in Mexico. I don't know what that says, but it says a lot in very few words here, so... That's Frank Sard's opinion. We'll see. But back to the AC Boat Show and the seminars. Jen, one thing I know, people were coming up to you talking about your video series, but talking about the boats, I noticed the boats that I saw sold in the 23 to like 26, 28-foot range somewhere there, and a couple of the big tri-tunes went. What did you notice? Because you were, listen, Jenny's all over the show in between doing seminars. Girl, you had it knocked. You made me tired. You made me tired.
A lot of steps were put into that show. My step counter on my phone was pretty much breaking records. But I did notice a lot of pontoons. A lot of people were looking at, you know, like the Steigers and the Grady's. Mm-hmm. But basically reflecting on what I saw, it was, like you said, those smaller boats and those big, big pontoons. I missed out on the pontoon that had the slide on it. I wish that was next to our booth like it was last year.
Yeah, I was trying to sell tickets to get Jenny to go down the slide. With the kid, that was tough, man. They'd come over to me. You can't do that. It's extra commercial.
We would have broke the bank if we did that.
Jen, real fast, before we get to the seminars, I'm trying to jam it in because she's very difficult to get hold of, sit her down in one place. You're also an excellent writer. You have two articles coming up, I believe, in the March edition of the Fisherman Magazine. Go into those, please.
So my glossy, which is in all three editions, New England, Long Island, and New Jersey, is called Creating Art and Its Reward, and it's about building your first ever custom rod. And that one I put a lot of time in. It's a beautiful piece, just like the rod itself, which I will be bringing to my seminars.
Mm-hmm.
And then my local piece in the New Jersey section is, I'm a history buff. I'm a nerd with that. And it's about my hometown of Point Pleasant Beach, where I talk about the maritime history, and I highlight some of the places that helped put the area on the map in the fishing industry, such as Murray, like the Ken's Landing and Fisherman's Supply, which has been there since 1948.
That was Brian Stenson's dad started that. And that was more or less strictly commercial. They eventually went into rod and reel recreation. What a business going on there. Well, Jen, also last year you had a definitive piece on Blackfish, a.k.a. Tog. Jen, people are still talking about that. That was your fave, but you do well with the fluke. Let me ask you this, Ackerman. Let's get to the seminar. Right off the bat, in your face here, I heard, she's a kid, she's a girl, what does she know? And then they come out of the seminars with, man, that girl knows her bleep. Whoa. So you're really impressed. Your experience of fishing for fluke and getting all the knowledge that you have on there, you're constantly on the water when the season's open, correct?
Yes, and I'm always wearing my sunscreen. So the more time you spend out there, the more you'll learn. And in the wintertime when you're not fishing, you go to these seminars and you learn. Like I say, you walk into my house, you're wiping your feet on a doormat. And that's what everyone should be doing this summer, is wipe your feet on a doormat when you go fluking.
Jen, your advice for early season. Now, the water's still cold here, guys. And my first introduction to the fluke, they call the flounder fluke, had me confused. When I moved down to Ocean City back in the late 80s, early 90s, catching them in the back in early to mid-April, late April. I mean, shout out to Cap Mal Cordelli on the then Bayhound. Plenty of fluke back there. Water's cold, early conditions, May into June. Where are you looking? What are you using?
So with May into June, I like to go into like my back bay areas. They migrate, you know, based on like the temperature, and even reflecting on last season, how the ocean was so cold, they stayed in those back bays.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the back bay is rich with bait, and the estuaries have bait and predatory fish all over. Like if I'm talking like behind Island Beach, there's deep channels with a lot of big fish.
Same thing in the flats.
Usually,
again, on those flats, that warms up, the muddier bottom warms up quicker, correct?
Yes, and it does. And that brings in a lot of big fish. The biggest fish I've seen caught in the back bay was weighed in at Grumpy's Tackle a couple summers ago. It was 9.8 pounds that he caught behind Island Beach State Park.
Caught in the back?
From the land. And I have a picture of it in my seminar, too. So the proof is in the pudding there. Mm. So that's why people, I always say, don't wait out till July to fish the ocean. Go back into your back bays and fish in May and June, because there's big fish back there using light tackle too. You could use, if you're standing on the land, use a 6 to 7 foot or even like an 8 footer. Usually I'll bring my 8 footer back there with a light bucktail teaser rig, and I'll just hammer fish back there.
Well, Jen, I noticed too in my travels up and down early in the season, a lot of fluke. Now, I'm talking from Barnegat Bay all the way down south, down through Stone Harbor, Seattle. Shout out to Critter there at Seattle Bait and Tackle, and Billy and I have crew there at Fanatics in Ocean City, caught on gulp crabs, the little peeler crabs. And they said, the time you open them up, they're loaded with crabs. And also the shrimp. Now, I'm always thinking little grass shrimp. No, they have what they call sand shrimp. Captain Brett Taylor on
mantis shrimp.
And mantis, Captain Brett Taylor on Real Reaction swears by the shrimp and the crabs in the early season, well into June in the back. You find that the case?
I always relate to that, and whenever I go fishing, I like to cut open every fish's stomach that I keep to see what they're feeding on. So if I go back the next day, I'll be like, okay, they were feeding on like shrimp. There was shrimp in their system. Let me put like a gulp shrimp on. So always look inside what they've been eating and try to match the hatch. for next time.
Yeah, joining us online is Jenny Ackerman, technically media coordinator, Fisherman Magazine. She's actually the book's jack of all trades. She's host of the wildly popular Open Boat video series on YouTube. You have to see her, man. The fishing booth is mob when they see Jenny at the booth or when she's going to be giving those seminars. Hey, Ackerman, you packed the house. How's your head not the size of a watermelon?
Well, I'm a very humble person. I don't do the videos and the seminars and the podcast and your radio host show to be like egotistical. There's a lot of people in the industry that are egotistical. I do it.
She said that, not me. People. I got to guess what she said. That, not me.
Listen, I was put here to teach people how to get on a fish. Mm-hmm. Ever since, you know, I worked at Grumpy's Tackle. That was my job. Mm-hmm. To teach people how to catch fish. And now that I'm with the Fisherman Magazine, it's still my job. I'm here to educate, not to brag about all these things. You know, it's, you want to be able to catch fish, and I want to see people catch fish and have them tell me that I helped them get a fish. That makes me happy.
Well said, Ackerman. Thank Listen, you. Back to the fluke in the back flats. Then when they migrate more to the channel edges on the incoming and outgoing tide, where you're going to be getting them on those little slopes. And when do you notice for lack of a better term, I know fish are back there all summer, people, don't get me wrong, but you notice more fluke movement out towards the inlets and out front as summer progresses?
Usually once it really warms up by like July, early season July, like, and of course all those tournaments line up with it too. That's when people start making the move out front. Like mm-hmm. usually like in my area, I'll fish the back bays. I'm going to say where exactly I am, but in the back bays, I'll be there like June and then a little bit through June, mainly just the month of May, a little bit in June. But by that time, by mid to end of June into July, mm-hmm. hopping on a boat and going out front.
Jen, in the back, early going, you say match the hatch. Again, with the shrimp you go with, or the crab go with the peeler or whatever, natural tones. Have you ever had occasion where you see some of the shrimp now, the white with the chartreuse tail, the gulp? Has that worked for you, or you keep it to the more somber tones in the beginning?
So that's a pretty popular color. Sometimes in the back bays, the water can be super clear. Sometimes it could be super murky. Sometimes the chartreuse color helps add a little bit more visibility to your bait. Mm-hmm. There's like the tackle shop expression, if it ain't chartreuse, it ain't no use. So you can use that back there if the water is a little murky. And of course you have like the jet skiers back there kicking up muck, so that can kind of murky the water up really quickly. So you mm-hmm. have to react quickly to switch up your bait. So I'm usually a pink shine glow girl, but in certain situations I'll use the white with the chartreuse or even fire tiger, believe it or not.
Yeah. I'll tell you, well, that salmon red in the Galton Minnow, it's called the freshwater in the red package. It's just called orange, but that's hot. It's not. Again, it's amazing how gulp, one week this color is kicking ass, the other week, the next week, they're not touching it. They're onto, like, for example, the new penny, whatever.
Well,
that's
exactly.
That's one of those, even though new penny still has a fluorescence and you can see it down 50, 60 feet, it's brown and it just looks like something. It looks like a bacon
strip.
Jen, do you ever have occasion to use live bait, like a snapper blue or a big killie?
So actually this past summer, I was sabiking live spot, big spot, and we were using spot in the back bays and like the rivers because they weren't really hitting out yep. front. So spot was definitely the top live bait of choice. And they're so much fun to catch on a sabiki rig, too.
Oh, yeah, man. We were out there with 2-pound tests, 4-pound tests. And that's a great fave bait of Captain Dave the Rave Show at Seacombe Bay Sports Center. On the line is Jenny Ackerman, jack of all trades of the Fisherman Magazine. She's technically the media coordinator and host of the very popular Open Boat video series. Okay, Jenny's seminars at the AC Bow Show. Opening day Wednesday. It's going to be at, what's that, 6 p.m., Jen? Yeah, 6 p.m. or 6:30, and also on Saturday it's going to be at 12:30 p.m. Get there. They. I know it's not. It's open in the back there where the seminars are held, but those aisles, those chairs fill up very quickly. And Jen, I want to say thank you so much on the air for letting me use your rod opening day week. That blue rock. I really want to thank you, Jenny. You are so sweet. You feel bad for Grandpa Tom P. You can use that. What a rod, man. Jen, that's a classic. I thank you very much. By the way, Jen, braid to a fluorocarbon or braid to a monoliter?
I do fluorocarbon.
Why?
That's just what I'm used to using. It is a little bit more expensive, but for my rigs, I use that for everything. For fluke, stripers, blackfish. For jigging for blackfish. Yep. My blackfish rig is a can of worms, expression-wise. Not actual can of worms, but...
Listen to me. For Back Bay fluke early going, favorite color bucktail? Give it up, Ackerman. She told me this at the Raritan show. Give it up, Ackerman.
Okay, so I like the Magitail Hoochie jigs, but I like them in the pink glow. I'm a sucker for pink glow. Anything that has pink glow or just glow in it, I love.
Fair enough.
A lighter Hoochie jig.
Listen, check her out 6:30 p.m. Wednesday at the AC Boat Show and 12:30 p.m. Saturday. Targeting Doormat Fluke. It's a great seminar. She really gets the crowd going. Jenny, take care. One day I'll hopefully see you at the show.
Yes, I'll see you then, Tom. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye. Best to Mom. She's badass, man. Mom Ackerman, she's badass. We'll catch you later, Jen.
Bye-bye.
Oh, way long on that segment. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. Crowds cheering as Hamas vehicles carrying 2 of 6 Israeli hostages being released today by Hamas in Gaza arrived at a stage in Rafah in southern Gaza. Hamas will release the other 4 from the center of the Gaza Strip once the 6 Israelis are released. Israel has agreed to release 602 Palestinian prisoners as part of the Israel-Hamas ceasefire. President Trump firing Air Force General C.Q. Brown Jr. as chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff on Friday as the administration seeks to rid the military of leaders who support DEI. The president nominating retired Air Force Lieutenant General Dan Kane as Brown's replacement. 2 swearings in Friday, Kash Patel as FBI director and Howard Lutnick as commerce secretary under the Trump administration. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, sunshine mixing in with some clouds, a nice day for outdoor activities with a high of 42. For tonight, overcast and partly cloudy later on, low 25. Tomorrow, partly sunny, the best day of the weekend with a high of 49. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low 24. On Monday, variable cloudiness with a high of 52. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Jersey boy continues making it good, if not greater, by the year. Very special guest on the line. Just came home from Mibble or something like that. Mibs, whatever we call that over the year. Boy, I don't miss doing that show. That was absolute total mayhem. We had a Triton account. I almost got drowned on that one. It's Nick Honoshevsky, host of Saltwater Underground in season 5. And Nicholas keeps kicking ass. And he took a little bit of a break in between having 138-degree fever. Come on, Rack and Vin, give us an update on the show. Nicholas, how you doing,
what
man?
What is up, Tommy Peg? What is up? I'm back to go ice fishing. I got out of the Miami sun, caught some cold, and... now I'm going back ice fishing.
Listen to me. I'm bugging out of here. Saturday, looks like I'll be up in the Stokes area. Nick, still 9, 10, 11 inches of ice up there. I'll be in the Stokes area for about 2.5 days. Drilling here, drilling there, drilling here. I love my South Jersey, but Nick, we only had about a week's worth of ice fishing down here. Caught a couple little sunnies and perch, but... got to get the ice because who knows how long it's going to be before we have a winter like this. Again, Nikki, let's get to Saltwater Underground. We're up against the clock. Go into it. You're on Waypoint. You're on the Sportsman Channel. You're on Discovery. You're all over the place, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so it's season 5 right now, Saltwater Underground with Nick Honoshevsky. We aired on Discovery Channel already. Now we're on Sportsman's Channel, Waypoint TV, and my YouTube at Saltwater Underground. You can watch all the past season episodes, but... once again, the coolest thing about my show is that we film 99% of the episodes in Jersey.
In Jersey!
Yeah, and everyone knows how good our fishing is here, but it's the characters that make up the show, man. You know what I mean? So we always have special guests coming out, like we had Dave DeGennaro doing a brand new secret tactic to chum up Bonito with spearing slicks, and then we went black fishing in a blizzard, which was so sick, man. I think it's the only footage ever captured on TV of fishing in a blizzard offshore 28 miles. You know?
But, you young studs are cracked, man. I can call him a young stud because I'm 70. Okay, almost there. I'm a septuagenarian. What is that, Nikki? Septuagenarian? Then he says to me in the morning, he says, you sound like a bag of walnuts, man, when I wake up.
At least you don't look like it.
Nick, let me ask you this. Keeping the energy going, listen, New Jersey, you think very small. We're the fifth small state, very limited. Not with our coastline and bays and not with our great freshwater opportunities. Nick, keeping it fresh, getting these ideas together. How are you doing it?
So I just kind of brainstormed throughout the year, and I think of something that might be entertaining for people to watch. Like this year, for all the Jersey listeners and Pennsylvania listeners out there too.
Yeah.
I reached out to Mike Iaconelli, our hometown Bassmaster champ, and we filmed a sick episode catching Ike his biggest stripers he ever caught. And man, I'll tell you what, dude, he is a legit, true, passionate angler.
Oh, yeah.
He is no joke. It's not for show. He loves fishing more than anything, and you should see us both together all amped up, catching like 20, 25-pound bass. We got him on the fly rod, too. It was so sick.
Oh, you flied him, huh?
Yeah, well, I flied him. I was like tossing his new prototype baits, you know, fishing with Andrea's Toy, Captain Freddie Gamboa. Dialing in bass, but
Gamboa,
it was awesome, man. Yeah, he was using, and it was funny, Ike was using like all this freshwater setup because he wanted to see if he could. He was trying to swing these bass like he does with the largemouth. We were cracking up, we were laughing our asses off.
Well, Nick, that's one great thing of the show, the energy, and it's Jersey centric. And then keeping these ideas going. Well, Nick, let me ask you this. We only have a couple of minutes. Listen, his head's – I heard his temperature really legitimately hit 105. So his head's about to come off his shoulders. He's getting better, though. He just don't get on one of my ice fishing spots we talked about, Honoshevsky. Okay. Well, Nick, listen. Right. You had another show. You've done shows. Saltwater Underground, your concept, your idea, your baby, so to speak. And I'm talking now because, my involvement with shows behind the scenes and all, but that you have, the one show you had with the woman on, that was years ago, but it was good, but it was okay. With your show, you have full autonomy. Doesn't that make for you're seeing the real Nikki Honoshevsky here, wide open entertainment knowledge. It's fun, but you're learning. And did you feel, now you're unencumbered, no more restraint? If you can, not talking bad about anything, what was it like briefly under the other thing where, you're answering to people, you're being basically under a microscope?
Well, it was funny. I mean, that show was hooking up with Nick and Marika on the World Fishing Network, and Marika was the greatest co-host ever. Our producer was great, and he kind of let me run with it with Marika.
Oh, did he? Okay.
But which was cool. It wasn't, by no means was it scripted, but this is my true passion
because
it's true underground, and we get to dive into, like, the saltiness, and, like, if I want to go eat chicken wings, we're going to go eat chicken wings instead. You know what I mean? It's like we can, I can bring the people that I want to showcase on there that I think will make great TV, and, bring in the right people in to instruct people and educate and show their passion for fishing, too. And I'll tell you what, let me go in one real quick story. I was at Surf Day this past weekend doing seminars there, and this little girl comes up to me. She was 9 years old. And she said that she's my biggest fan, and she records all my shows.
Isn't
she watches
cool?
the reruns on YouTube. And I swear to God, I got a little tear. I said, "You think I inspire you?" I was like, "You inspire me more and more."
There you go.
Every day, and she keeps me going. It's people like that, So I know I'm resounding. So it's not like all these hardcore, underground anglers that are watching it. It's little teenage girls watching the show too, and they're getting something.
Nick, I saw you at the Wildwood Expo a couple of years ago. I mean, you had a great cross section of listeners, and you made time for all of them. Honestly, by the way, let's just full disclosure. I don't know why. I know maybe it's Nikki's show, Nikki's production. He passed up my query on a tutorial on catching white suckers in the early spring. But that's all right. That's all right, Nick. That's okay.
I got you slotted. We're good.
And by the way, listeners, he has two absolutely adorable but ferocious dachshunds, Libby and Daisy, who have taken down UPS, Amazon, and FedEx drivers.
You didn't get anywhere near my house with dachshunds, badger hounds. Devil hounds, they call them, dude. Yeah.
Nick, how's the future look? You're constantly growing, but you're putting out a great product. You're polishing the diamond here and there. Plans for expansion?
Expansion is more shows to film. Getting more sponsors on board. We might be doing, like this past year, we actually branched out and did one destination down in North Carolina on the Crystal Coast for redfish and speckled trout, but we'll probably do like a destination episode, one or two every season. But I like showcasing more and different characters and fisheries, and there's plenty of them to go around in Jersey, man. So
the characters,
the future's bright.
The characters, I got Georgie Poveromo on a couple of weeks ago. He said, Tom P, New Jersey fisherman, you got full of characters.
Me and Poveromo were just sipping some Papa's Pilar down in Miami. Maybe that's why we're both sick.
Well, Nick, by the way, how's the lovely Emily?
Oh, my wife is great. She's doing good. She didn't get sick, which is good. So
women are impervious to that, man. Stupid. Women are tough. Yeah. Well, Nick, one more time. What times and what channel for listeners? Saltwater Underground on its fifth season kicks ass. A lot of fun to watch. Just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, if you get Sportsman's Channel, it's 1:30 on Sundays, 3 p.m. Thursdays, Waypoint TV on all your streaming, and you can access all the episodes on my YouTube, Saltwater Underground at Nick Konashevsky, and at Instagram at Nick Konashevsky. So check it all out, guys.
Nick, one last time, man. I got a stream where these suckers are up to 18 inches, Nick. 2-pound test, 1-pound. Nick, what a dynamic show that can be.
We'll do a sucker, ling, and Bergal episode.
Don't forget the robins. Don't forget the birds.
yeah, we'll get them.
Nick, I'll see you on the water. Take care, brother.
All right, brother. See you, Pags. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Kid is dynamic. I remember with that Jeep with no windows, no windshield, no tires. And look where he is today. Be right back to close it out. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, the egg industry is spending big money trying to prevent bird flu from crippling its flocks. We'll have a special report. Also, Gen Xers are finding out that moving to a vacation hotspot for retirement isn't always as great as it appears. Plus, why therapists say Americans may be getting worse at grieving. And the new strategy for planning a getaway? Trying vacation roulette. That and more coming up on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
And that'll do it for this weekend on Rack and Fin Radio. Me, Tom P, departing for the North. Got to get the last of my ice time in because turkey season is rapidly approaching. Don't forget, March 1st. Back Bay Tidal River Stripers are open. Happy New Year. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next weekend. Rack and Fin Radio.